All right, let me make sure we can get Chris in here. What is going on now?
Yeah, welcome everybody. So we have got...
There he is, okay.
Wonderful Chris here. Chris
hang
Francis.
On one second. Let me try to maneuver the screen here.
Just so remove guest one guest. With the minus sign.
Is that him though?
Nope, he's a guest. He has his own window there.
Oh, there you are. Okay, let me move our window over. Perfect. Oh wait, no, I don't want myself to be the one that's featured here.
We're trying out this new feature.
I know, I'm sorry, Chris. Hang on one second. Let me see if I can get
And good, we can hear you all right.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Let me see. Let's go here. Wait, we do this.
Swap cameras.
Nope.
Yeah, that'll shuffle us around.
All right. There we go.
There
perfect.
We are. Cool.
Very smart
all right.
Instrument.
Up and running now. We had a quick little hiccup before we started.
Well, because this technology we're using right now is like brand new. And
brand
so like
new.
Chris, you can see both of us, right?
Yeah, I see both, yeah.
All right,
fantastic.
Cool.
Fantastic. Well, excellent. Welcome.
And
you
sound perfect. So Chris Francis is an essential worker and an activist as well, and we have his Twitter link in our bio, or in the description of the video, rather.
Yeah.
And we're excited to talk to you about a number of different things. But again, like, this is going to be just fun and stupid because, like, this election was the stupidest fucking thing.
Yeah,
I know. I figured you'd agree. So, like, it was fun. Like, after the interview we did with Steve Cox, like, that I started following you on Twitter and, like, kind of realized that you and I think pretty much the same way about like what's happening in the world and everything else. And so I wanted to have you on again, not because of your identity or ours or whatever else, who gives a shit about that stuff, which is kind of my point. It's more about like how the working class is getting utterly fucked, but they're trying to distract us about your blackness, our gayness. Like, they're trying to distract us from the reality of what you and I have in common, which is that we're working really hard and we're still fucking broke.
That's
why I wanted to have you on. Exactly. So we'll keep doing this. And like, what's cool about this new software we have, like, I can share some articles with you to kind of see what we're talking about and whatever. So you're very much like a guest on our show, which we're happy to have, but you also get to participate in like how we normally do it, which you didn't get to do so much last time that you were here, because we're talking about George Floyd, which is like a very heavy topic, and now with this election, it's just sort of like, fuck it, man.
Yeah,
like,
it's
that's
a circus.
Yeah,
it's all over the place now. I really gave it up on it. It's just the same old, same old, same administration, the same... people, same,
nothing changes.
Nancy Pelosi, everybody the same. Everything's just the same. It's just crazy, man.
Isn't it fucking so funny and ridiculous? Like, because like there was so much like, what a failure of progressives, and I am a progressive. Like, of just like not seeing this coming, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and like you and I, Sean, like all of us. Even Steve, like we knew this was coming. We knew they would fuck us. We knew it would happen. And like, I was, and I don't know if this will like freak you out. Like, I was rooting for Trump just because I felt like the disruption he caused was enough to actually make progressive issues seem more palatable, or like they would seem more real to people. Like, people could actually digest progressive issues.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of was... I ain't tell nobody, but I was kind of rooting for Trump. I wanted the Democrats to take the like the Senate and the House, but I wouldn't care if Trump kept the White House.
Right.
Just he'll be doing is tweeting his whole administration and just causing disruption and all of that kind of stuff. But
What's crazy to me about Trump is like, because he had this incessant need to tweet or whatever, like the news media, which is the most important, like, or dictates the communication across all of us, they would investigate everything he said. Like, if it was a lie, they would investigate it. But with Biden, they're not going to do that anymore.
Right.
It's over. So like, it is just like, he can secretly do whatever he wants to do, whether it be reinvade the Middle East or whatever else he's planning on doing, which I think he is planning on doing, without any oversight or any kind of check on his power or whatever else. And because Trump was so vilified by the media, everything he did and said was investigated by the media, which was useful in a lot of ways.
I'm really looking forward to, or I'm hoping that Trump does like a Mad Max Witness Me kind of thing where he spray paints his face and he just does absolute madness in his last few weeks as the president.
I mean, he's already kind of started.
Like, I want him to do that. I want him to like burn whatever bad things down that we have.
I think what's unfortunate is like
because he's on his way out.
Right. I think what's unfortunate though is like through you do realize, and I think like this is also the important part of Trump winning the presidency, is we're getting to see the limitations of the office. Like, the presidency is not a very useful position. It's like a very symbolic position. Chris, have you had the same experience with it? Of like how it just
it's just the face of the organization. Like they're just there to like be peaceful and keep everybody in check while everybody in the background, the military industrial complex, pharmaceutical companies run and make policy decisions for the politicians. And all they're there is just to be the celebrity politician that they want to be.
Right.
Because Beto O'Rourke, I was made for this. This, you know, in the middle of all this crazy stuff happening, he's seeing like the essence of being a president instead of like really wanting to help people. That's what the president is there for. That's what I realized over the last 4 years since I've been paying attention to all of this. Yeah.
Right, of course. And you live in Texas, so like you were dealing with Beto O'Rourke actually being a viable presidential candidate. And
I
like,
was a fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and like in fairness, and like in absolute fairness, and like in total transparency, like I did find it like Ted Cruz, like being a gay person, like with my boyfriend here, like Ted Cruz has been a fucking thorn in our side for a decade. Mm-hmm. Like, we hate Ted Cruz so much, and the fact that Beto O'Rourke actually was competitive with Ted Cruz and like almost won. I mean, like he did lose by what they would call a large margin, but the fact that he got so close in Texas.
Right.
Is pretty fascinating, like in terms of just how the demographic shift of Texas is moving. Did you kind of have the same experience of like, was it exciting to you that Beto O'Rourke might have actually stood a chance?
Yeah, at that time I was a liberal. I was a hardcore, you know, I'm against guns and all of that stuff. At that time I was a hardcore liberal and I really believed in his message. Like his viral videos of him in the church. Like, I remember that one. That was really the one that turned me on to him. I was like, oh, yeah, this is a real dude. And then I seen him, how he acted in the primaries, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's fake. Kamala Harris fake. This person fake, yep. Fake. I can see it broad day now. Like,
yeah.
It's open.
We're gonna get so much into Kamala Harris if you're up for that. Like, is Granny watching right now? Because I might make Granny angry.
I didn't tell her.
Okay, good. So we'll just have fun on this one.
This I cannot watch this anymore. Oh, dang.
she was like these two stupid gay assholes. Like they're making our grandson look like whatever. I don't know. But like, I think what's fun is like. Again, like the point I wanted to make to you, like, and it'll get into like, is it like the reason why I wanted to have you on again is like this idea that doesn't it seem interesting that like liberal, middle to upper class white women in particular are terrified of you because you're black? Do you feel that?
Yeah.
And they overcorrect by being like anti-racist or whatever this stupid shit is. That just ultimately divides the working class up by these stupid characteristics that don't really matter. Like in terms of like money making, like, yeah, like police brutality, which was a very valid focus. Like you might be more affected by that than this white lady. Like in fact, her even being a girl, this theoretical white woman, this white woman I'm talking about, her being a girl, it actually gives her like an advantage in terms of not being fucked over by the police. But they have now dominated the discussion about like how you and I are supposed to interact with each other, even though we probably make a similar amount of money, which makes me crazy. Do you kind of feel that as well?
Yeah, like the upper, like you said, the upper middle class white women, they are terrified of black people, but they're the main ones, and with Black Lives Matter in their bio, and they, it's like. it's so weird. Like, and I be telling them, like, it's more than just the color of my skin that we need help with. We need economic relief. We need health care. We need all these other things. But they don't want to hear that thing. They want to keep the focus on racism and never on classism, because it hurts their pockets. That's yes. what really is.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's sad to me, because it's like, it's one of those things of like, and I do think that this whole like identity politics thing is like by design. It is designed to keep like someone, I mean, you and I see eye to eye because you're a thinker, like, and a talker, like, as I like over Twitter or like whatever else media, like whatever medium you choose to do, like, but we see eye to eye on like that particular issue. But the more the people, like, more the black people feel like white people are working against them, like, and not really acknowledging that there are poor white people who are kind of like not in the same boat exactly, but a similar enough boat to where it's sinking for both of us. Like, that boat is fucking going underwater, like, especially right now with all this shit. It is interesting to me that the elite class of this country is dictating what, how you and I should feel.
I talk to a lot of Trump supporters. I like to talk to Trump supporters more than I talk to liberals. And they don't really have an economic ideology. They just support Trump because he calls out what we're calling out right now.
Exactly.
Like, the Democrats' hypocrisy of all this racist, like, they hate that. And I'm starting to hate it too. At first, I was like, come on, man. Like, we are out here dealing with racism. We need to focus on that a little bit more. But at the same time, I understand where they're coming from. Like, this is too much. We can't say anything to one another. Like, if you say this person did something bad and she's a black woman, I'm racist. Automatic. Like, with nothing. It's just weird.
And I've been telling Sean, like, it is kind of the new racism. Like, it's the new version of racism where it's like we like liberal, like, just what, like, liberal middle class white people seem to think that black people aren't accountable for things that, like, are would be bad, like, just universally, right? And so, like, and again, it's like, it's not to say that, like, there isn't, like, all the stupid caveats, you know, which is like the criminal justice system, all these things, like, they need to be reformed. Like, you and I are on the same page on that. But, like, there is this idea that, like, similar crimes can't be criticized, and like, unless things are because the person's black or whatever else. And it's like, I truly, I do think this is by design to make us not realize that what we have in common, which is, like, there is no middle class anymore. Like, the likelihood of, like, you, Chris, Sean, myself getting into the middle class and, like, buying a house is so fucking low. It's so low. And if they keep us divided like this, we'll argue over dumb shit like, you're black, we're gay, and we won't focus on the fact that we're all, like, not going to see a future that our boomer parents or grandparents got to experience, you know? And, like, so imagine, like, you went to college, right? Like, it's, like, it's something, like, one of the topics I had in the note, and I put it in the bullet points I sent you, is about canceling student debt. So Sean has student debt, like, a lot of it. Like, I don't know if you do or not. I think you mentioned you did.
Yeah, I do. I just don't focus on it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Of course. And, like, and so, like, the idea, like, so now that Biden is probably going to be the president, right? There's a lot of focus on, like, canceling the student debt, which is great. Like, selfishly great, because, like, I like you. Like, I consider you to be my friend now because you're willing to come on and do this with us. Sean's, I've been dating Sean for over 3.5 years, and he has student debt. So if both your guys' student debt got canceled, fucking right on. Yeah. I'm great. Like, right. But it doesn't address the question of, why the fuck does college cost $40,000 a fucking semester? Like, why is that the case?
Well, the student debt reached $1.8 trillion, right? Yes. That it's absurd that that's even a number that we can say out loud.
And it is more.
It's more than
the credit card debt.
There we go.
In this
credit
country.
Card debt. Thank you.
Like, the student debt that we have in this country is more than the credit card debt, and like in this country, and the fact that, like, if you go to college to get a degree, the guarantee that you will get a job that will allow you the financial ability to pay it off is so low. Like the
and then you'll be paying like a, even if you can pay it off, it's like a $300 a month payment depending on how much you spent going to college, and that's going to follow you until you're 45.
Yeah.
And by that point you can't afford a house because you spent all of your money on student debt that gains interest. It doubles in like a year because interest rates are so fucking high for student
and you
debt.
Can't declare bankruptcy on them either.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It is like you are just stuck with this debt. So I'll get into it, but like, so you probably imagine, Chris, that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie would not get a position in this cabinet. Like you, that was obvious, right?
Oh, like, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. So like they would bend the knee.
Just keep shooting the progressive movement, thinking that she's going to get a position in the cabinet two elections in a row. And if they haven't told her anything yet, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's time for her to, like, really turn it on. Like, if I was her, I'd be trying to prove like, I'm progressive. Because it's looking like you're really siding with the enemy right now.
Yeah. I mean, especially because, like, we're going to talk to you about, like, later on, which I know you're, like, which is, like, fun because, like, I know you're aware of these things, like, in terms of, like, the military and, like, these kinds of things, like, in terms of... They will fight for, and again, it's like, so she didn't get a cabinet position, Elizabeth Warren, and then like her big push that like ended up in the headlines in the media was canceling student debt without any kind of explanation of like reducing tuition costs, like any of these kinds of things. And so, and because she never explained any of these like realities means that she will never do it. Like no student debt is getting canceled. It's never going to happen. Because that, like, because when the language doesn't, like, and I think that because you came politically online about 4 years ago, you, I think...
About the same, 4 or 5 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, like, you guys know now that the way they talk about these things when they give you, like, these kind of grand plans, like, we're going to cancel student debt, but they give no dialogue about how or, like, what's going to change in the future means it's a lie. And I know that, Chris, you probably learned this through Obama. Obama made a ton of... promise closing Guantanamo, not deporting a bunch of illegal immigrants, like ending the endless wars. So he didn't close Guantanamo. He deported more people than Trump and started seven more wars during this time period. So like it's weird. Like I don't know. So like I have no faith in this rhetoric anymore. Do you have any confidence, Chris, in this kind of rhetoric?
No. I believe that my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, shoot. No, love it. Love it.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think they want to keep a class of people, you know, at the bottom.
Yeah.
Because they need workers. They need a working people. One. And the military industrial complex needs soldiers. And
if they're
people
poor,
can't pay for education, people can't pay for their health care, people need housing. Mm-hmm. You straight out of high school, you ain't do good, you ain't got the good SATs, you're going to the military.
Yep.
That's what happens when you working class family. You're born in a working class family. So they will never cancel student debt.
No.
That's never gonna happen. So
because the recruitment program ends. I mean that's right. Yeah, and like whether that be for like lower paid working class jobs or for the military, and like one of the biggest black pills I give people, like, do you know like red pill, blue pill, black pill? Do you know that kind of like that rhetoric, Chris? Black pill is like red pill, black pill. Do you know like these kinds of like this terminology? Like black pill is like we're doomed, like we're screwed. And like my black pill thing is like we cannot be a first world country through which like we have, you know, electricity, Postmates, these kinds of things, if we're not exploiting a third world country. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And like, I don't have a solution for that because I have no power, but it's just kind of like that attitude is just over. And I think what's so tough is because we've shipped so many jobs over to China and these kinds of things, the working class has now become the foot soldiers of supporting the first world economy of white Karens. I mean, that's what we are now, and it's kind of pathetic. And like, especially the fact that like working class people aren't really rising up and
Yeah, we just falling. It's because they got us so divided, man. We so divided. People support the policies and voting for the person who don't support the policies. That you can't win. You
No,
can't win.
crazy. No.
We win on a policy, but we can't win with the people, with
Right.
the person that we need to implement these things. And we keep electing the same administration, the same senators, the same House majority leaders, Nancy Pelosi, like.
Could you believe that shit? That we have to deal with her fucking 80-year-old crooked ass for two more fucking years? Can you believe that shit?
Unbelievable.
And she said in 2018, she said she's gonna only do it for 2 more years. And
Of
then
course.
she said it again, I'm only gonna do it for 2 more years. She's gonna keep doing it until she dies. 2 more years.
Of
Her
course. I mean,
brain is gonna melt.
we saw it with Ginsburg. I mean, Ginsburg was the same thing. Like, if Ginsburg didn't have the ego to not retire, they would have, like, Obama would have actually gotten in a Democrat or a liberal judge into the office. And Ginsburg, knowing she was like 175 years old, didn't retire during that time period because she was scared that it would hurt Hillary's election chances, even though the pollsters told us it was in the bag for Hillary. Hillary was going to win. And she didn't magically. And then it screwed everything over in terms of their messaging and their plan. And so, yeah, man, it's so pathetic to me. But like, what's tough to me is like the progressive wing, which, like, you and I, Sean, we're all a part of this kind of thing, is like, I adore Cori Bush. I know you do too. Like, Cori Bush
I love.
is a great avenue of it. And she's so new, and we don't have a lot of like stuff on her rec like on record of her talking about this kind of stuff. But like, a lot of her focus, just based on Twitter alone, that's all I really have to kind of watch her, is focused on black people, right? And like raising up black people, which is a totally noble, worthwhile thing to do. Like, I have no issue with that. But if she were to just take a moment to talk to poor, struggling white people that are dying of fentanyl or whatever, it would be crazy fucking powerful. Like, for the progressive movement, like, to have one of the first black women ever elected to the position that she's in, and she talks to poor white people, like, do you think she'll do that?
I don't know. I really haven't followed her like that, but I am a fan. But
Me too.
it's easy to talk to Republicans, I feel, because they have the same gripes with the government as we do, you know? But they just being misled by this freedom and anti this, anti that. They're like, right now I'm thinking about this no labels. Like, we need to stop labeling everything.
Yes.
Race, we all are human.
Yes.
Like, let's stop labeling every black. I mean, I understand we haven't, I mean, black people haven't been in positions of power like this, and that being that first black woman, first black president, that's cool. That's nice. But I would rather have someone with a different ideology than
Their skin
the
color.
same ideology that's been leading this country for the last hundreds of years, you know? So.
And I think, like, what's tough is, like, it's this idea that, Kamala Harris was the candidate that the DNC always wanted, right? And they were like, what's so, again, this kind of new racism thing I've been talking about, they're like, black people are gonna love Kamala
Oh
Harris.
God.
And
and
did they?
and look how well she performed on Super Tuesday.
It's so funny, man. She got no delegates. Like, Tulsi Gabbard, who
Zero.
was our person we liked, like, she got one. Kamala Harris got zero. Like, she got
They're
no.
still trying to force her on us. Like, they still trying to force people to like her.
Yeah.
And it's people just are not that fond of her like that. She giggles and laughs at weird moments. She yapping Lindsey Graham in
Oh
the
yeah, she gave him like a fist
Oh yeah,
bump.
that's
Yeah.
right. I saw that today.
It's
Yeah, like,
fucking
where it's
weird.
like, you guys are clearly friends, and like, with this guy that like should be an asshole to you.
Right.
But also
It's
too,
perfect.
not to mention, like, she kept the black man on death row by withholding evidence to not free him, because her ego as a prosecutor was so big that she would not allow herself to let this guy go free until she left office and didn't have to take responsibility for it. Like, that's who she is. She's a very
Yeah.
dark, sick person. And like, I had a lawyer friend talking to me the other day about like this, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, he's a defense attorney, so like he defends people that are, you know, in legal situations. He was like, the person that chooses to be a prosecutor is a really weird person. It's somebody who literally their job is to dictate how long we keep people in jail. That is their job. Mm. And that's who she is. And I don't know. She scares me actually more than Hillary Clinton. Like, she is like a very frightening person to me.
I think with like the labels thing, and we're familiar with this, Jordan and I, in our own community, the LGBT community, your label is your armor. So if somebody were to, it's your armor and also your strength, at least in this culture right now. So like somebody who is like, I'll bring it back, Kamala Harris, I promise. But like a 38-year-old woman who comes out as non-binary but continues to present the exact same way is now protected by the LGBT armor,
right,
even though there are no stakes for her to do it.
Right.
Somebody like Kamala Harris, who is a brown woman, she's black and Indian. She cannot receive any criticism,
right,
because her label is her armor,
which
her
is
being
by design.
Identitarian, being a black woman. Of course it's by design.
Right.
She is the untouchable candidate.
Right.
And yet nobody liked her.
And I think what's tough for black folks, and like, you can disagree with me, if you, of course, like anytime I'm saying something you disagree with, please tell me, like,
because
we're friends here. but it's like, she to me, like, she grew up like in a super upper middle class environment. Like, she went to like the best fucking schools, and like her black identity was not that important to her. It was mostly her, like, her Indian identity, like that is like really what guided her. And so it's weird to me to see her kind of like pretend to be again, because like, we're using this identity shit like it matters, like, you and I know it doesn't, but like, she will talk like she's a really, it's like a Tupac thing. Remember the Tupac thing she brought up? Like,
I disagree, because she she was like in a black sorority,
really,
in college.
Okay, yeah, I did not know this.
I think it was like the Alpha, I don't know. But
yeah, okay.
She was in a black sorority. Like, people do say that. I don't care really what she looked like, if she a woman or not. I want to talk about
policy.
What are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I care about, man. I just want, that's why I like Bernie Sanders. Like, when you was talking about the how do you do the student loan forgiveness? He was talking about a 2% tax on Wall Street speculation. Like, he had a plan. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't hear that from Joe Biden. You hear, I'm gonna do this. No plan behind it. No way. Whatsoever, like,
platitudes.
And then they make it seem like we can do this without even taxing y'all. Like, make it. I can do this without even making y'all pay any taxes. Like, damn. And people just fall for it every time. And that's why Republicans think we're crazy when we say they think we don't want to. They think we're doing this thinking it ain't gonna be taxed. You know what I'm saying?
of course it will be. And I think that, like, the reason why Biden works is because, like, what dominates the social discussion, like on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, are people who hear the platitudes Joe Biden gives of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna, like, you know, coronavirus is a great one, where it's just sort of like, oh yeah, well, I would have done a better job. But he doesn't say how. Like, how would you have done a better job? Tell me how. Because like, when Trump closed down the border to China, you called it xenophobic. So like, because, like, again, you're so, like, people like Joe Biden are so infected with the brain virus of identity politics. It's like, well, if we scare off Asian people, then that'll be more important than the fact that people die, which proved to me at that time period that Joe Biden is not a serious person about, like, actually fixing this problem. And even more impacted by that is, like, you know, I don't really know what's happening in Texas, and I'd love to ask you about this, but, like, California, where we live, you know, our stupid governor, which I'm going to show you some articles that make him even more stupid, is talking about, like, shutting everything down. But we still have no agreement from a federal level on assistance for people who choose to do the right thing and shut down. Like, there's no the stimulus is what I'm talking about, where it's just like, like, what's happening in Texas? Like, what is Texas like right now? Like, how is it, super shut down, or is it kind of open or mid or whatever?
Everything is back to normal. We just if you go into the store, you have to have a mask on. That's about it. That's from the business, though. I don't think it's mandatory from the from the state. I just think that's the business is doing that.
Like how are restaurants, like, are they actually allowing like indoor dining?
Yeah.
Wow.
I go to bar.
So you guys opened it right up. Okay. So so I'm curious to ask you, like, somebody who's in a state where they're not, what's tough about living in California is you get, again, white liberal ladies who have the privilege of being able to isolate themselves financially.
Yeah.
Shaming us into saying that if you go to a bar or like you try to commingle with other humans, you're a bad person. That's a lot of what's happening in this state. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel, like, do you think, what is your thoughts on the virus? Like, just generally speaking, today.
So I'm going to point to that point right there that since I'm an essential worker, I'm already out working a job.
Yes.
I might as well can go to a bar at the end of my shift and drink with my friends. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't cut me off of my life if you're going to force me to keep going to work. And you ain't gonna give me no stimulus check if I'm at the house. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at right now. But during the election, the Democrats did not want Trump's name on a stimulus check right before the election.
Yep.
And I want to ask y'all, do y'all believe that they're gonna give us one once Joe Biden is put in office in January?
So I have two thoughts on this, and I'll let Sean go into that after me. So, like, number one is that, like, from a capitalist perspective, I think it'll come through before Christmas. That's my number one thought of, like, they need people to buy shit on Christmas, so it might come through before then. Number two is that this virus is not as serious as everyone is saying that it is. And, like, again, like, I had this thing on Twitter, and which is that, like, obesity alone, not heart disease, none of these things, just obesity in this country kills 300,000 people a year. Just obesity. So, like, and I bring up that issue just because it's like we're talking about a health crisis and health and immune systems, and we don't talk about that issue, honestly, because Frito-Lay, Pepsi, Coke, these kinds of things are huge lobbyists for our politicians that give the messaging out on what we should be doing. So, sorry to like put a bookend on that. I do wonder today. I was particularly wondering before we started talking to you was like, are they doing this thing where they're going to see how quickly the economy can open because none of them are taking it as seriously as we're supposed to, and then not give a stimulus check if we can start working again? Like that's kind of like what I'm wondering. So it's either, to me, it's either before Christmas or they're just giving up on it entirely without the political messaging and knowing that we can open up again safely. So I'll let Sean answer.
Yeah, I think my take just brings me back to the Trump going out guns a-blazing thing.
Yeah.
It is two things. He's either going to give us a stimulus check as like a last-ditch effort to be like, see, you guys love me. Or he's going to mandate that things open back up. But he can't do that because it's state run. So I think more likely, or I'm more hopeful, that is that Trump would give us a stimmy, a little stimmy before he leaves.
So what do you think?
I think Trump is not thinking about that. I think I think because Trump really could have won this thing if he was really ready for that. But
I think that, like, I think what you're saying is, like, if there wasn't a pandemic, a global pandemic literally was the only way the Democrats could win. That was right. Literally it, which should be.
Trump could have used it to his advantage too, though. That's what I'm saying. He could have used it to his advantage to make it, you know, and if he was really a dictator, he really could have used it to his advantage to, like, shut down the government and take, but nobody want to talk about that. He ain't really a dictator.
No. And, like, and isn't that crazy that they've been, like, literally screeching this for fucking 4 years? Like, that he's, like even, like, so when the George Floyd incident happened and we had the protests, which turned into riots. I mean, they did. There was, like, oh, he's going to send in the National Guard. And it's going to be, like, this horrible dictatorship, like, this military dictatorship. And, like, we found out, like, a little bit later on was, like, him telling states, like, you can use the National Guard if you want, but it's up to you to use it. So, like, his presidency was actually a pretty great stress test on our democracy in a lot of ways. But the problem is that, like, none of his administration or the disruption or any of this kind of thing addressed the corporate oligarchy that controls our democracy, which is the darkest part that is, like, totally controlling with puppet strings the Democrats and the Republicans. And so I was rooting for him to win just because it was, like, he pissed everybody off. And so, like, it would get them to sort of let the mask slip, tell the truth on accident, and this kind of thing. But yeah, no, I think that he's so wrapped up in his this is fraud or whatever else. And it you know, there is fraud. And, like, to me, like, just to be very clear, because I've not talked to you about this directly, like, the fraud thing to me is, like, mail-in voting is a great thing. Voting is not a national holiday, right? Like, national, like, you know, so people not being able to, like, actually take the holiday off or, like, take work off can, like, now vote by mail. But it's probably pretty good for someone like Trump to insist he lost, right? Or won, rather, to investigate if there's any irregularities or problems in this new system that we've now put into place, right? So, like, I have no issue with him throwing this temper tantrum. Also, combined with the fact that, like, Hillary Clinton and her people did not concede the election for 4 fucking years. It was Russia. It was, like, all this dumb shit that we know isn't true now. So he's allowed to throw a temper tantrum for at least 3 months. I think that that's kind of an allowed thing for him to do, you know? But I'm with you. I think that he's too focused on whatever shit is going on in his life for there to actually be any kind of stimulus. And for Pelosi, I think that it's weird because she was using it as a political gambit as much as he was, and it didn't work for her because she lost seats in the House and then also may not win a majority in the Senate, which is weird because it's down to that Georgia thing that may not be determined until January. So who knows? But these people, like, the point is, these people don't care about us. They don't
care.
No. And, like, in fact, I wanted to bring up this article. This is an article. So this is our governor, Gavin Newsom. Do you mind reading some of this?
Yeah, this is from Politico. California doctors' top brass attended French Laundry dinner with Newsom. French Laundry is the name of a restaurant in Napa Valley.
Yes.
Yeah. So here it goes. California Medical Association officials were among the guests seated next to Governor Gavin Newsom at a top California political operative's opulent birthday dinner at the French Laundry restaurant this month. CEO Dustin Corcoran and top CMA lobbyist Janice Norman both joined the dinner at the French Laundry, an elite Napa fine dining restaurant, to celebrate the 50th birthday of lobbyist and longtime Newsom advisor Jason Kinney. A representative of the powerful interest group confirmed Wednesday morning. Let's see. There's something in here about the state guidelines. The state has issued guidelines prohibiting more than 3 households from gathering privately, a limit clearly exceeded by the French Laundry dinner. However, the state has intentionally allowed restaurants to seat people from more than 3 households together. Doctors and other healthcare workers have been vigilant since the pandemic began and asking Californians to stay home, a call that has ramped up in recent weeks as hospitals across the nation.
So they're trying to, like, do damage control for him. And, like, what I love is his apology here. Can you see my screen here, Chris?
Yeah, I see.
Okay, cool. So, like, listen to this shit.
A few weeks ago, I was asked to go to a friend's 50th birthday. My wife and I, a friend that I've known for almost 20 years and a friend that had, well, put a lot of time and energy into his 50th birthday. It was in Napa, which was in the orange status, relatively loose compared to some other counties. It was to be an outdoor restaurant, and we started the
It was not outdoors.
Program
no.
started at 4 o'clock.
It was indoor with class.
Early reservations. I got there a little bit late at 4:30, and as soon as I sat down the larger table, I realized it was a little larger group. Than I had anticipated.
Yeah, but you still sat down. You didn't care.
I made a bad mistake. Instead of sitting down, I should have stood up.
Yeah,
you're the governor, dude. Back telling us to stay inside.
Instead, I chose to sit there with my wife.
And other medical officials.
That were outside the household.
Yep.
Who should also have stood up and left.
Et cetera, et cetera. But
so we get it. Like, what's so... what's so crazy to me about him is like, so I don't know if you like, because again, like you're in Texas where like things seem to be like doing what should be normal. Here in California, they told us that like they gave us like these, like they were, because of the, like, thank God for our constitution, like they couldn't actually legally enforce these things, but they were like, if you do a Thanksgiving, we demand that you do it outdoors, you cleanse the restroom before
you wear
you
a mask between each bite.
Yeah. I mean, like, and so like with, and he was the one that drafted this, these kinds of regulations. And then this dumb asshole does this and talks about it like this, like, oopsie. Is it was just incredible. And like, I was curious, like, did you see the Lori Lightfoot thing as well? Cause she's had two goofs, like the mayor of Chicago, where she got the haircut first, where she was in big trouble. And like, she's somebody that like, I would totally root for. Like, she's progressive in name only, I guess. She's black and she's also a lesbian. So like, I mean, like she has all the kind of like identity markers that should make us love her, but she has just been insufferable during this. Like, in Chicago's numbers are super fucking high, and then she got a haircut without a mask on, and then she said that like, because I'm on TV, I insist that I do this, which is very similar to like what Nancy Pelosi said. And then when Joe Biden won, she was down with like a megaphone without a mask on, like screaming at people who were excited like all around her on her face. And so it's one of two things: like, either this virus isn't as serious as we're saying it is, or Democrats don't get the virus.
Yeah,
Democrats don't get it.
Right. Herman Cain got it. Trump got it. The whole cabinet got it.
Right.
Not one Democrat.
Right.
They act like it's because we wear our masks. We don't get it, but they keep getting caught.
Well, and that's kind of the thing is like, I mean, we haven't had you on since this happened, but like, I mean, even when the massive protests were happening, of like, there was no ability for a rational person, which you are, Sean, as I am, to say like, these protests have merit, they're important, but it probably will spread the virus. I mean, that seems like kind of obvious, right? Like, that just that many people packed together. Like, Sean and I went to one in Long Beach, which was wild. I mean, it like, we were on like the day that, I think like the day after we talked to you on a Wednesday, we went to the Sunday one, which was like when it exploded, you know. And like, we still kind of kept our distance because people were so packed in like sardines. It was like, you know, this might spread something, you know. And so it's just weird to me of like, particularly from the Democratic side, because they're so, they wanted to defeat Trump so badly, them kind of dictating which events were acceptable and which weren't. And it was so obvious at a time of like, okay, a Trump rally spreads, it's a super spreader event, right? And then things like Gavin Newsom's thing is totally fine. He can just kind of apologize and people will just forget it because he's a Democrat. You know, yeah. So.
And miraculously, when Biden gets projected to be the winner, the next day an article comes out about the COVID vaccine being 90% effective.
Right.
Of course. Like,
I think it's just going to disappear and we don't get no second stimulus check. It's just everything's back to normal. And
that's my stuff. Yeah.
I think the media is going to help Joe Biden cover it up too. Like, and then, you know how liberals got a short term memory. They're going to forget by 2022. It's going to be all the same arguments, exactly the same. Cause I had these same arguments in 2018.
And the bad memory is why liberals now love W. Bush and think he was the better president over Trump.
And speaking of that, so Trump, like, in his kind of like last ditch effort to like, you know, be a populist finally through force, is to withdraw troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. So the amount of troops he's withdrawing from Afghanistan are 2,500, but that still brings it down to like 2,000. So we still have troops there. Iraq, it's only 500, and so we have like, I think, 1,500 troops in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And then I was seeing people give like shitting on this is like, this, like, you know, he didn't really accomplish anything, like, you know, he, like, this is like a last ditch effort to make you like him or whatever. And it's like, I think you know as well as we do, like, he's been trying to do this for years, and the Democrats literally made a law to make it so he couldn't withdraw troops at an expeditious pace. So like, even though he's this dictator or whatever, like, he did attempt to cooperate with both sides to do what is obvious, to take troops out. use that money to spend on healthcare or like whatever else. Like, mm-hmm. why are we in Afghanistan? The Afghanistan war is as old as Sean almost. Yeah. You know, like
I'm 23.
Yeah, it's 20 years old.
Yeah.
So I mean it's insane, and like you're 27, right, Chris? Yeah, and mm-hmm. I'm 30, so it's like I think the time that like you and I were like, you know, adolescents, like or like children going into being adolescents, this was like we've only known this war. This war is not ended right. for you and I. And what's insane to me is like, so now with Trump doing this, we have someone like Tammy Duckworth, who is a veteran who got both of her legs blown off, saying this.
All of the military commanders have spoken up and say this is the wrong thing to do. We want our troops home, but let's not bring them home in body bags. And that's potentially what's going to happen if this president gets his way and puts his own political timeline ahead of our national security. All of the military commanders...
She has military worms in her brains.
What's crazy and like is that... So what's her rationale here? That we... So... We can either keep fighting these proxy wars and send them home in body bags based on our own actions, or theoretically reduce the troop count, which will like make them vulnerable, through which they die and send them home in body bags. Either way results in death. But how about we don't kill innocent brown people in other countries? Like mm-hmm. that seems obvious to me. Or be their police.
And they say stuff like that and never give their timeline. Never give their timeline. And
exactly.
What, year 20? Like, come on, man! It's so stupid. The same things over and over.
Right, and like, and you bring up such a great point, which is like, when is the timeline? Like, tell me the year, then, Tammy Duckworth. Like, what is the year? Like, when is this going to happen? Because it's now been as old as my boyfriend. It like this has been going on right. forever. And again, like you know, like we invaded Afghanistan when they weren't even harboring Osama bin Laden. He was in Pakistan. Like
yeah.
we didn't even, like, and Iraq was over weapons of mass destruction, which was a lie, which huge part of Biden's cabinet lied us into.
We're still in the wars that they lied us in.
Right. Like, right.
It's crazy.
I know. It's actually interesting. I was telling Sean this point of like, this is going to be a huge shift. So I'm sorry. But like Alex Jones is like the most vilified person in media. Right.
He's hilarious to me.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Because I was about to say, like, I didn't want to speak for you, but I think that he is the most entertaining, funny, like, but yeah. also tells some like truths, which is like Epstein. He called it like way out in left field.
Yeah.
But like, so I was telling Sean, I was like, okay, so the biggest thing he's vilified for is Sandy Hook, right? Like him right. even questioning Sandy Hook and the reality of that, and horrible. Like to have parents deal with that, horrible. What about the entire media apparatchik that still have jobs, that are on Twitter, that lied us into the Iraq war and the Afghanistan war that killed easily 2 million innocent people? Mm-hmm. Like, are they not worse? But they're not off social media, right?
Yeah, they all got jobs at MSNBC.
I mean, like, and how exactly. many how many like of our intelligence community that lied us into that? Like, John Brennan... He does a thing that's on CNN. He's on CNN now. Like, that is a job he does now. It's mind-boggling.
And John Bolton will be on there as well.
Of course.
Probably pretty soon.
Of course.
Even, like, Trump tweeted about him recently, which was a relief. It was hilarious. But, like, it's like the person I've had the greatest displeasure to work with. It's amazing that Trump hates him, but it's terrifying that CNN, MSNBC... glorify John Bolton, who is the biggest warmonger of our fucking U.S. history.
You're right.
So he's gonna have a place on CNN. He's gonna have a little talk show, or like he's gonna be a guest. What's that word called? A consultant.
A consultant, yes, or a panelist, or
he's
whatever.
He's gonna be a panelist.
CNN. But
I hope Trump TV knock out mainstream media for good.
Well, yeah. I think there's like a high probability of it. Like, and I think like what like the worst case scenario of Trump TV, which I you're cued into this, which I think is going to happen. Like, will he run again? I think there's like a 55% chance he'll run again, right? Meaning Trump. But him starting a media network is 100% guaranteed, because he didn't think he'd win 2016, right? So I think that his plan in 2016 was to lose and start a media network to get him out of debt. I mean, he's in a huge amount of debt. So I think that was his plan. But what's going to be annoying and the worst case scenario is that, like, so MSNBC, CNN, Fox, not so much, but kind of some of their shows, Bloomberg, Huffington Post, they've only remained solvent and profitable because they had Trump to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. If he's not the president anymore, like, he's not going to really have as much gravity to talk about. But if he gets his own news network, then they'll be able to talk about him again. And it's like, that's the kind of thing of, like, I've told liberal friends of mine that, like, we're so anti him, and they're like, Biden's the answer of, like, well, okay, well, I don't want to hear about Trump ever again out of your fucking mouth. I don't want to hear it anymore. Never again. I don't want to hear it because you're too stupid. Not you. The people I talk to, obviously, are too stupid to realize that, like, he's a symptom of the problem. Like, like, Trump was not the problem. It was again, like, how we started this, class issues. Like, that was the fucking problem. But I'm concerned that Trump TV will become the way through which the mainstream or the legacy media remains solvent and profitable, because they'll just be able to talk about what his news network says, kind of like what Jon Stewart would do during the Bush era. And so I'm curious, do you think, like, do you have that kind of concern, or do you think that that might happen?
Yeah, I agree. Didn't he take some of the working class vote? Like, he has a big majority of the working class. And I see a lot of Republicans in the Senate and the House, they're starting to try to appeal more to the working class because they see that's where the action is, really.
Yeah, and that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, excellent point, and actually, like, one that I was, like, hoping to somehow figure out how to get to, because I'm talking so much, I'm sorry. But, like, so this election, Trump won more minority votes than any GOP member since 1960. I mean, and again, like, the demographics of this country have changed radically since that point. Like, in 1960, there weren't really, like, a lot of Mexican immigrants. Like, there wasn't really much of this shit at the time. I mean, and obviously, like, you know, there's just more people. And so that, number one. And do you know the demographic that he actually underperformed with, that he performed well with in 2016?
White men.
Isn't
that fucking crazy?
That's crazy. Yeah.
And
that's what I'll be saying. I'm like, how is he, like, the way they only made it about him is the reason why they lost so many seats.
Yes.
Because people didn't see it the way they saw it. They didn't see Trump as this dictator that the way they tried to paint him as. They seen Democrats for the last 4 years delegitimizing the president of the United States, saying that he's a Russian agent. And then once the Mueller report comes out, everything just, oh, my bad. And we just keep going on to the next thing, Ukraine.
Yep. And then nobody admitted they were wrong. Nobody.
Yeah. They don't admit they wrong. They just move on to the next thing, and they expect everyone else to move on with them.
Yes.
And keep vilifying Trump. They spent the whole 4 years vilifying this man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of him because I don't support him with his politics or anything, but I feel like they didn't give him a fair chance at all.
I think what it is like so there's two big reasons for me why that happens. Like, but even before I get into that, is like this talk of, like, decorum, right? Like, decorum, like how we should care. Like, isn't it interesting that someone like Joe Rogan, right, gets more views than CNN and says fuck, piss, cunt, faggot, like all these words that are, like, verboten by the media, but he gets way more views than anybody else because he's talking like a fucking human being, right? It's like this idea of, like, Trump not being presidential. What does that mean? Like, we have now moved past a post decorum society. Like, it's ridiculous. So, like, the fact that he resonated with a lot of working class people was he was lying, but he talked to them like they talk to each other.
He seems authentic.
Yes.
He seems authentic to people.
It's a lie. I mean, it's totally a lie. But I'm curious to see if not totally though. I do think that he did attempt to do something, like, but it didn't go anywhere because I think that, like, it's in, like, for instance, like the Make Things in America Again, it's a lofty goal. Like, I would love for that to happen, but it never will. Like we have had two decades, including Reagan, of shipping all this shit overseas, where we'll never have American manufacturing of even things that matter, like PPE, these kinds of things. It's never going to happen. But, like, the things I'm curious about is, like, will the younger group of the Democratic, or I'm sorry, the Republican Party, like the Josh Hawleys, the Matt Gaetz, will they start to realize that, like, oh, our path to victory now is stealing the, like, the minority vote, the Black, Latino, gay vote away from Democrats, because that was sort of their walk on winning things, was this vote. By the very least, I have no faith today in them actually enacting policy that will make our lives better. But if they're talking to us, that's pretty fucking good in comparison to what the Democrats have offered us since 2008 when Obama won, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that happens, but I don't have a lot of faith in it. But a new version of the Republican Party would be very interesting and really flip everything that I'm sure you and I have believed, like, on its head in terms of, 'cause Bernie, I love him as much as you do, like, especially in 2016. Like, he really let me down in 2016, because I think he should have fought for that reality.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's sad to me to see him on Twitter tweeting, like, about, like, you know, Latino women make such and such 50 cents to the dollar of every white man. And it's just like, you're the working class guy, man. Like, we all know the data on this. We know the numbers. We know this is bullshit. Like, because it's like, it's a giant statistic that's like conglomerated everybody's medium wealth into one thing, like women who choose to not work or like have kids or these kinds of things. So like, it still has a money disparity, but it's not that big. And like, you know better than this. So like, what are you accomplishing by propping up Joe Biden's administration by again dividing working class people, which was what got you as popular as you were? I don't really understand that for Bernie. What do you think he's doing now? Like, why is he doing this?
I don't know. I really don't know. I really stopped caring what Bernie did doing after the election.
It's too painful. Yeah.
Right now, he's trying to get the labor secretary in the administration. I don't see that happening because they're already talking about they're not putting any progressives in. Even Mitch McConnell said he's going to block any progressives trying to get into the administration.
And of course, yeah.
And you know how Trump, all his people was acting attorney general and acting this, acting that. Democrats won't even do that. They're going to follow the rules. They are the weakest opposition party I've ever seen in my entire life.
I have this theory, and I've said it on this podcast before, but I've not said it to you personally, is like, I think Republicans are men and Democrats are women. Like, just in the general,
the masculine and feminine.
The masculine and the feminine, right? Say, yeah. The masculine is super, like, the masculine, the Republicans are super pragmatic. Like, they just, like, they want to get shit done no matter what it costs, right? But what that too much of that results in people getting left behind, no compassion, no goodness, no feelings, like nothing that actually like makes people feel better, right? And like, and leaves a lot of people behind in the wake. And like, you get to your goal, but the destination may result in a lot of people getting fucked over. The Democrats are the feminine, where it's all about feelings and like, and therefore like, they don't have the level of pragmatism to actually get shit done. It's like impossible for them. And it's kind of an interesting thing to watch, because it's like very similar to, like, I'm sure you've had like a long-term, if not now, you have like a long-term relationship with a girl. And if it works, it's this thing of like, there is that give and take, like, you know, in terms of like, okay, the girl breaks the, this is going to be very simplistic, so bear with me. The girl breaks the sink, or there's like a clog, or in your shower or whatever. And like, you know, as a man, like, I know how to fix this. I can go get the tools to fix this. And you're excited to fix it. You're like, yes, I'll fix it. But then, like, when you get the clog out of her hair and all her shit or whatever, then you can say to her, like, why the fuck did you, why did you put so much fucking hair in this? Like, you know, put a drain stop or whatever. And, like, it'll hurt her feelings, right? Because you're being honest, but you're being too honest, which is the Republicans. I mean, it's just kind of, like, how this shit operates is, like, so the divine masculine and feminine. And it's insane to me to watch there be no pragmatic male in the Democratic Party to just be like, no, like, fuck you. No, yeah. We're doing this. Like, we need Medicare for all. Like, could this pandemic prove it to you anymore? Yeah.
Even their policies, they try to do it on Republicans' terms. Like, we can't go this far left because the Republicans gonna scare. Like, what? Why do we care what the Republicans think about our policy?
Right.
They don't care about what we think about their policies. They're tax breaks for the rich. They don't care. They do what they say they're gonna do, and they move on. And they know there's no repercussions for what they do. And if the Democrats actually put real policy positions out there and actually tried to fight for them, I guarantee you it wouldn't be no, like, 70, what, how many people? It was 50 something.
In what? Sorry.
It wouldn't be this close election. This election wouldn't be that close.
70 million. Mm-hmm. 70 million voted for Trump. And, like, and again, like, I mean, you kind of said it earlier, like, this should be a massive embarrassment for the Democrats. I mean, like, this should have been, like, it should have been a landslide, like, based on, like, all the polling. Like, polling is, so polling is over.
It's
like,
bullshit.
We're not reading polling anymore. It's
fake science.
Because, like, it got proved wrong in 2016, it got proved wrong now. So, and again, like, I'm sure you know as well as I do, like, nearly every progressive that ran for a seat won. But a lot of, like, centrist Democrats, most of them fucking lost.
And then they blame the progressives. And I wish somebody just go on TV and was like, okay, if y'all blaming progressives for losing, how come all of the people who supported Medicare for All, the Green New Deal, except one, won their re-election?
Right.
Like, and nobody, the pundits don't ask that. They never allow leftists on the channel to even rebuttal them saying that it's progressives' fault.
Right. Like, well, and not to mention that, like, Florida, a notoriously swing state, right? Like, I mean, like, that it goes in either direction. I mean, like, Florida's the one that determined that it went to Bush and not Gore in 2000. I mean, that was a fucking historic thing. By the way, Gore didn't concede the election until mid-December. So, like, give Trump a break on that one, just for the record. Right. But not you. I'm speaking to the general audience, just to be clear. Sean tells me all the time.
You speak in second person.
I do all the time.
And it confuses me.
So,
it confuses everybody we ever talk to.
I'm sorry. I have this, like, this weird thing of doing that. So Florida voted overwhelmingly for Trump. Like, and they're trying to say Cubans are white now or whatever stupid shit like they're trying to do. But it doesn't matter. Like, Cuban went for Trump, but simultaneously approved a $15 minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why would that happen? But they don't even want to start to guess as to why that happened. They have no interest because it would have
barely ran on it.
Yeah.
He barely said $15 an hour during the campaign. He barely said it. And it's winning in Florida, a red state.
Yeah. You know what the minimum wage is?
Sorry.
Do you know what the minimum wage is in Florida right now before this law passed?
No, I don't.
$7.25.
Oh, my God.
It's the federal minimum wage.
If you're living in Miami, that's brutal.
Yeah, there's no way to live on that. No way.
What's the minimum wage in Texas?
$7.25.
Fuck.
It's the federal minimum wage. They can't go below that. I'm sure they would if they could.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, there are states, too, that, like, I mean, if you're a waitress or a server or whatever.
You get, like, $2.
Yeah, and then they just assume the tips will make it up, which just, like, gets you to minimum wage generally. Mm-hmm. I think you're probably like me, so I think it's, like, probably a rhetorical question, Chris, but, like, is there anybody you're excited about, like, any politician who, like, has any semblance of interest?
No, not really. I want to see Jamal Bowman.
Yeah,
I like what he's saying on Twitter, but I want to see him in action. I want to see Cori Bush in action. I want to see these new people in action. I've seen what AOC and the squad been doing. They just fall in line and they still talk, but it's no, like, real fight. I want to see somebody take on Nancy Pelosi and call out the system. Like, what are y'all position? What is your position on this? What is your position on this? Because they get away all the time without saying what their position, they only say what they're against. I'm against this.
Yeah.
And they never have to say what they're for. And I wish a progressive was in there, like, just to call them out on that.
Yeah, I mean, we have someone in our comments bringing up Nina Turner, but, like, Nina Turner would never be allowed in politics. Yeah. Like, she can only be, like, she can only be, because Nina Turner is, like, the, like, so I think that like progressive politics need a black woman like her. Like,
for sure.
And like Cori Bush isn't necessarily even her. Like, she is like the most, like, no one's going to talk over Nina Turner. It's never going to fucking happen. Like, she is like this, like in terms of like black woman energy, she's the scariest fucking version of it, where it's like, you are not going to get a fucking word in edgewise if she believes in what she's saying, which is the best of humanity in this country is her.
You can see the pundits on CNN and when she on it, they just be looking like they hate her, you know?
Because she told the truth, you know.
That's her persona. Like, she just tough like that, you know.
Yeah.
I love her, but like you said, they're never gonna let her nowhere near.
No, and like that's how we felt about Tulsi Gabbard too. Was like, I mean, like, there's a lot to disagree with her on. Like, for a lot of people that I think even listen to our show, but it was like her like, she wasn't as emotional, like, or like not emotional, but like what's the word I'm looking for? Like, gregarious, I guess. Like. Emotive as Nina Turner. Like, it wasn't as like intense, but her like, it was like a surgical strike of like, what's wrong, here's the problem, you know, nuking Hillary, Kamala. I mean, like, she literally,
it was very masculine what she did.
That, and Nina Turner is too. That's a great way of putting it. Like, they are the most men, women, like the most dudes rock women on the planet, and that's I think what we need. And so I'm concerned that people like, I think Jamal Bowman in particular, I'm nervous about, just in terms of like, I think that he's so excited that he won that he'll end up just sort of like
folding. Being like AOC, a celebrity,
yes,
more than a politician. Like,
And imagine how much money AOC will make when she leaves. You know, she'll be a very wealthy woman for the rest of her life, you know? And that's what's sad, is it's like, I think that that's what happens to people in politics, is like, you know, There have been bipartisan bills in terms of like corporations not being able to get involved. Like, even fucking Zodiac killer Ted Cruz like endorsed a bill about like not having corporations, like corporate PACs, get involved in politics, and it never goes through because these people get so rich based on who they choose to lobby for, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah. And I try, when I talk to, like I said, Trump supporters, I try to put the money aspect in it. I really try to like get them. I agree with them a lot. I let them agree, like they sales talk about the sex trafficking and all that.
Sure.
I'm like, yeah, that's true. All of that's true. But did you see that Jeffrey Epstein? Like, I they so close to the truth, you know. And you just gotta guide them. Mm-hmm. So the real things, you know.
And when that's what's tough about like QAnon, right? Like, QAnon has like delegitimized real things that are happening. Like, because because with QAnon, it's like, okay, like human child sex trafficking is real. Like, they have that in there, but they're like, oh, Oprah's involved in it, and then Bill Gates is shooting a fucking missile into the sun. Like, you're like, oh, god damn it! Like,
doesn't it seem like they kind of steer people away from the truth? That's what the QAnon is. They talk about the truth and they try to steer you around the, you know.
Because I think QAnon is a fucking intelligence community operation to make people not pay attention. Like, I think that's really what it is, because like, it's tough because like, you probably have experiences the same way that I have, like, even just not with Trump supporters, you know, but I'm sure there's people in your family who are like super into QAnon, right? Like,
I know friends. I got friends. That
just friends. Into... So like, I have family members. Like, you're so blessed because I have family members that are all in on it. Right. And like, what's tough is like the Jeffrey Epstein thing is something that like Sean and I have been talking about for like 3 years. I mean, like, it's something that like has been very real to us. And what's tough is it's like for Jeffrey Epstein, it's like, I think that Jeffrey Epstein was the madame, like the head of the whorehouse for a much larger government, like, you know, honeypot operation to entrap world leaders into having sex with underage girls, filming it and being like, we have this collateral on you now, so you must do our bidding. Right. So like, Jeffrey Epstein was like this big in terms of like the grand scope of this whole thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with Israel. But if you talk about Israel in this country, then you're an anti-Semitic. Yeah, exactly. so it's tough. But like, QAnon has now adopted these things as like their cause du jour, because they think that Trump is like Jesus, I guess, where they think that he's going to like fix all this. And it's delegitimized things that are real. So then the public doesn't pay attention to them anymore, which reeks to me of CIA, FBI kind of thing, you know, because I think that they're fully involved in this shit. And so I'm glad you brought it up because I can give that whole spiel to you. I'm sorry about that.
I think, like, I know somebody who, a couple people who are, like, into QAnon, and they're my age. Or maybe, like, a little bit older. Probably within your guys' age range. And I was trying to explain to some of my friends who don't understand why they're into it. And I think what it came down to it for me was, like, people are looking for a scapegoat for their own problems. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So there are things that are going wrong in their lives, and they want somebody or something to blame.
Yep.
And QAnon is just revealing all of these issues, these big problems that need to be solved that are conspiratorial. But it's focusing on who's pulling the strings. Whereas, like, most people probably have some inner turmoil, or they're poor, or they're uneducated, and they cannot get out of it. So they need someone to blame for it, when really the people to blame are, like, Nancy Pelosi, not the president. The president really can't do anything about it. But people like Nancy Pelosi, who is stopping shit from happening to help these people who have problems, it's people like that who are to blame. It's not vampires that are sucking the blood from your
adrenochrome,
children while they sleep.
Yeah, these kinds of things. Well, I'm curious, are you religious, Chris?
Yeah.
So I mean, like, and I've you know, like, you know, you probably understand, like, you know, based on our identity, like, religion was pretty unkind to us for a long time, and I grew up very evangelical, for the record, and so, like, but as I've gotten older, I do understand the utility of religion just in terms of, like, people sort of seeing something bigger than themselves. You know what I mean? Like, so you're not, like, you, Chris, me, Jordan, Sean, we're not the master of our own universe, right? Like, there is something bigger that is kind of, like, pulling the strings. My point of saying that is, like, I think that QAnon and even this fascination with Trump being the problem is because, like, we have moved further and further towards a secular society in this country where, like, in absence of religion, we find these other things to become religion, whether or not be, like, Russia, and I call it BlueAnon, which is, like, not the original term. It's like BlueAnon's the other side. It's the Russiagate people are BlueAnon, and then QAnon is the red side of things. You know what I mean? And they all believe these conspiracy theories because they believe that, like, there's no possible way that there is an elite pulling the strings that are fucking us all over, and both of these groups are the same thing. And I truly think it's, like, an absence of, for lack of a better term, for us, like, I'm not atheist, I'm kind of, I don't know what I am anymore. But like, in absence of God, you know what I mean? Like, I really do think this is what it is for people, is, like, an absence of God or spirituality. And so they, the idea, like, in spirituality, Christianity, I don't know. I mean, is Christianity kind of what you belong to?
Yes, I'm a Baptist Christian.
Oh, yeah. So you're, yeah. So, so were we, actually, for a long time. But it's, like, so much of, like, the good messaging of the whole thing that isn't, you know, because it does get into, like, people find convenient ways to weaponize it against groups or whatever.
Right.
But
that's why I fell out of, when I started reading and learning more, probably around college, I really, like, this is not what God want, you
right.
know?
but as you get older, I mean, you kind of start to realize that, like the good messaging of it was really looking inward of, like, what do I have to offer? Like I'm responsible for my problems and my decisions. Like, my sin that I choose to actively participate in will make my life
free
worse.
I believe God was a creator, and he made us to continue creating.
Yes.
And that's how I make myself believe in a higher being.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great way
because
of putting
it. Because if I keep, you know, going along with the Bible, it teaches me to hate other people, and it's not exactly how I want to view.
Right. What's tough about the Bible is it's like, and I was part of this really evangelical group that would make you, like, paraphrase the Bible. So, like, you'd have to, like, sort of try to figure out how to, like, summarize. It's like there are, especially the Old Testament was, like, kind of when we were participating in it. And if you take the Bible not literally, and it's kind of like metaphors or, like, allegories for, like, larger literary things, it's amazing. But if you take it literally as, like, you know, if you commit sin, or, like, you know, if you look at another god beyond me, I'm going to burn a golden calf that's gold and make you drink it. Like, these kinds of, like, really literal things, it's going to get very dark for people. And so he's, can you hear us, Chris? Because you're frozen.
Uh-oh, we may have lost him.
Oh, shoot.
Well, maybe he'll come back in just a second. His internet may have gone out. But I wanted to jump off the thing he said about, God created us to create so that we would keep creating. I don't think it's just procreating in that sense. I think it's, like, also creating art.
I think that's what he meant.
Exactly. Yeah. But I wanted to clarify that because I thought that was, like, a very apt observation that he made.
I feel bad for him. Oh,
I'm in the little corner all by myself now.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's probably it.
I hope we. I mean, I would like to.
Get an outro for him. Let me try to get another one open for him.
Yeah, here. Totally. In the meantime, there is something we didn't touch on, which is the Ben Shapiro dress.
Harry Styles thing, which is so funny because it's like, who cares?
Yeah, we were talking a lot about the masculine and the feminine and stuff during this interview, and Ben Shapiro was in the news all day yesterday for talking about Harry Styles, who wore a dress, maybe not even a dress, a skirt, in a photo shoot he did for Vogue, which is not surprising. Harry Styles has been doing stuff like this for the last year or two. He's actually been dressing nicely and looking fucking good. But Ben Shapiro, like, said, like, he's trying to erase masculinity.
Here's the exact
thing.
What
it is. This is, so he's replying to Candace Owens, who said, "There's no society that can survive without strong men. The East knows this. In the West, the steady feminization of our men at the same time that Marxism is being taught to our children is not a coincidence. It's an outright attack. Bring back manly men." And that's Candace Owens about, they're looking at guest one, not us right now.
Oh.
Yeah. Can you guys still hear us at least? Maybe not.
I think that's delayed because it looks fine on this. So.
All right, cool. So Candace Owens said that stupid shit, and then Ben Shapiro said, "This is perfectly obvious. Anyone who pretends that it is not a referendum on masculinity for men to don floofy dresses is treating you as a full-on idiot. Masculinity and femininity exist. Outward indicators of masculinity and femininity exist in nearly every human culture. Boys are taught to be more masculine in virtually every human culture because the role of men is not always the same as the role of women. The left knows this, of course. The point of Harry Styles doing this photo shoot is to feminize masculinity. Otherwise, why would it be headline worthy for Styles to don a dress?"
So I would not care at all. I don't care at all that he did it. Mm-hmm. It would be if every outlet was calling him brave. That's where it triggers me. Of like, it's not. It's a stylistic, interesting choice. And plus, like, okay, so. White middle American men who are poor are going to buy a fucking $50,000 dress they see on Vogue.
No way.
Give me a fucking break.
We are not. And I think where Ben Shapiro gets it way wrong is that masculinity, femininity, it's not the clothes you wear.
No.
It's not your presentation. It is your confidence. Masculinity is confidence. It is a little bit of apathy, like a lack of feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of that. It's like, and I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but
there weren't,
you need both.
There weren't think pieces written about him being, brave or whatever else. I mean, it was just existed. Mm-hmm. And then stupid, like, oh, so conservatives are going to play the identity politics thing now. Like, you guys are going to be the ones that do this now. Like, what a fucking shame this is.
Yeah. How embarrassing for Ben Shapiro to... It seems like he keeps doing this. He takes
with the WAP
these
thing.
Huge L's, these huge public
the
L's.
The WAP thing was like actually semi-funny to me because I think that it was in his wormy brain, like tongue-in-cheek. But like to give a fucking, to give like a whole tweet thread about it is like pretty fucking pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Embarrassing
for him. I just think Harry Styles is like, there's that comparison photo you sent me.
Yeah.
Harry Styles is way more masculine than... If we're going off of Ben Shapiro's...
I didn't want to horrify Chris with it, so let me...
Oh, yeah, yeah. If we're going off of Ben Shapiro's standards for what men look like, right. Harry Styles looks like more of a man
than Ben Shapiro.
Than Ben Shapiro. You look at the side-by-side. I think it was a link that you sent me.
Yeah, it's got to scroll down.
Yeah, to a tweet or something. Jeez, I don't think it'll be that far.
Well, I don't... Normally it just goes to links.
But yeah, so you look at them side by side and Ben is built like a dump truck, and then yeah, I would maybe, oh no, they're not looking at our screen right now.
No, they're not.
Okay, good. But like Harry Styles is fucking hot and confident, and because he is willing to wear nail polish and dresses, I find that to be more masculine than not.
Yeah.
I find it to be confident, and he looks comfortable when he wears these things. It's not like he's like shielding himself. There's no insecurity there that I see that would make him be non-masculine.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. It's so funny. Cause like that was the thing we're talking about, like with Chris is like, okay, so like if the Republicans find that it would be advantageous for them to be the working class party, are they going to become the ID poll party as well?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Anyway, I'll text Chris after this.
Yeah, totally.
Chris, please start a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Like, you're great at this.
We implore you.
Yeah. And thank you, Chris, for coming on. And his Twitter link's in our bio. He's fun and thinks pretty much like the both of us. So subscribe to him. I don't know. Like, follow him. Yeah, thank you. And we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
This is all wrong. That's no good. This. Come on, man. Basket.